Hey guys, this is Din.
And this is Rish.
And welcome to Z-Talk, the Zelda Dungeon Podcast.
So, Din, this time around, we have a few good submissions. We have the Keaton Quiz. We have a mailbag.
We have lots of good submissions.
That's good.
Yeah.
And you had something that you had to tell everybody about.
Yeah, I just wanted to recap the changes that are going on so we make sure everybody is understanding. So, the thing about YouTube, what's going to happen is really popular segments like the Keaton Quiz are going to go up on YouTube as well as be on the podcast, and really, really good segments, like any segment that has really good insight or really good new theory, those kinds of things are going to go up on YouTube.
So Uber segments.
Yeah, and also any segments that are really good that we don't have time for, that we don't have time to play on the podcast, those are going to go up on YouTube as well. Something else that I want to address on the actual podcast is the new time constraint.
So, guys, when we're looking at submissions now, we want submissions that are no more than 8 minutes long, because otherwise we can't fit everybody in that we want to fit into the podcast.
And we want to try to get as many people in as we can. Like, this podcast is going to be really full. We've actually got about, I think, 8 segments in total on this podcast.
Really? That many?
Yeah, that many. So, maybe it's a little less than that, but I think it's 8.
Okay.
And the other thing I want to say, if you're unclear about the new podcast with the whole community stuff, there is a new rules and regulations thread. The link is in the description of this podcast. It was also in the description of the last podcast. You can find it on the Zelda Dungeon forums.
Also, one thing I want to add in is we're hoping to have a sticky thread for you guys to comment in and just talk about fun stuff in.
Yeah, there will be a new forum post each month, with each new release of each new podcast. And in that forum, post, you'll be able to talk about the podcast, things you liked, what your opinions were on the segments, and that kind of stuff.
Oh, geez, I guess I have some typing to do, eh?
Yeah, we all do.
Oh, dear. Okay.
Well, then, I think that's all for our announcements for this time, so we will move on to our first segment.
Yeah, let's get to it.
So first up on the podcast, we have a wonderful submission from our current Keaton Quiz champ. Colonel Majora has started submitting sections, and I want to preempt this with letting you all know that this was recorded quite a while ago, actually, before Skyward Sword actually came out.
So that being said, there is going to be kind of a jab at us in the beginning, but that's because we didn't have it fixed then.
So, anyway, we'll move on to Colonel's section.
Hello, fellow dungeon seekers. This is Colonel Majora. That's Colonel Majora, not Colonel Majora. I've been meaning to address this to Din and Rish for a while. I keep forgetting, though. Like Cinnamon's past issue, people seem to pronounce my name exactly as it's spelt, and that's not right. It's not Colonel, it's Colonel. But anyway, Colonel Majora is here to delight your ears with some ranting and railing about how it is very first Zelda theory. I'm not exactly one of the most popular or, well, active people on Zelda Dungeons forums, but since the very first podcast, I've wanted to get involved, so here I am. But anyway, specifically, I've been thinking about the Gerudo. And if you don't know who the Gerudo are, they're a tribe completely of women, with one man born into their tribe every 100 years. Don't ask me how that works. They always live in the deserts of Hyrule. They really don't like outsiders, especially men. And they first showed up in Ocarina of Time, and showed up again in Four Swords Adventures. The ones in Majora's Mask don't count right now because my theory only applies to the ones in Hyrule, not in Termina. But most importantly, they're well-organized and intelligent. These traits will be relevant in a moment. But anyway, I thought, Well, that's what they are. That's who they are. But why? Why are they in the deserts, and why do they hate outsiders? So I thought, the pre-Hyrulean Civil War, mentioned in Ocarina of Time's backstory, it involved all of pre-Hyrule's tribes fighting for undisclosed reasons before the king unified the country of Hyrule. I don't know if the Gerudo are also fighting or not, but they were driven to the desert lands of Hyrule. This alone would be enough to anger anybody. But I don't think that's all that happened. But as I said, Gerudo are smart. The Spirit Temple from Ocarina of Time probably has puzzles designed by them. I mean, objects in Ocarina of Time had the Gerudo symbol on them, like the crystal switches, foot switches, pushable blocks, things like that. And not to mention the entirety of the Gerudo training grounds and the archery range. And in Twilight Princess, Arbiter's Grounds was filled with mechanics and medieval technology. Judging by its many similarities to the Spirit Temple, and the fact that it's in the Gerudo Desert, I think Arbiter's Grounds was probably mostly, if not completely, made by the Gerudo. Now, what I think is, yes, they were angry because they were driven to the desert, but I think they were even angrier because these designs were valuable. They were noteworthy, and they were not even taken into account when they were pushed to the desert. They were denied appreciation completely. And plus, why would these marked mechanisms and objects even be in dungeons outside of the deserts and stuff? The other races and tribes, I think, either used it with the Gerudo's permission and still didn't even take them into account when pushing the Gerudo to the desert, or they pushed them to the desert and just used them without caring about what the Gerudo thought. And the Gerudo would be like, hey, you're using our stuff. No way. You know, you think that we're out of the way? You can just use them all you want? No way. In the Gerudo's eyes, the other races are just not looking kind at all. But that's all about, I think about that. Next up is what happened after Ocarina of Time. And this is related to timeline theory, sort of, so that's kind of up in the air. But anyway, I'm sure that most people can agree that Ocarina of Time comes rather early in the overall timeline. I'm not a huge timeline theorist, but one thing I do believe in is the split timeline theory. Oh, and that Twilight Princess and Four Swords Adventures come after Ocarina of Time. If you don't know what the split timeline theory is, just a quick rundown. After Ocarina of Time, Hyrule is broken into two parts. Hyrule A, the future that Link went to and beat Ganon in. He beat Ganon, he left, back to his childhood, and so Link is gone, Adult Zelda remains, Ganon is sealed away in the Sacred Realm. Hyrule B is the time that Link went back to. So you got Kid Link, you got Kid Zelda, and Ganon hasn't done his evil plans yet. But let's think of Hyrule A, the future. No Link, Zelda's still in there, and Ganon's sealed away. After Ocarina of Time, the many tribes celebrate peace in Lon Lon Ranch. The Gerudo are celebrating with them. Here's what I think happened. They end up getting along for a long, long time, decades to come, and eventually reintegrate themselves into society, leave the desert for good. That would explain why they're not in Twilight Princess. But here's another thought. What if Twilight Princess was in Hyrule B, where Kid Link, Kid Zelda, and Ganon are there? Back in Link's childhood time, Ganon never would have got the chance to attack because Link would have witnessed the future events and returned to tell of coming dangers. So there would be no need to save the kingdom because there would be nothing to save the kingdom from. He would have never got the chance to attack, i.e., no need to celebrate anything, no need for the Gerudo to come and celebrate with anyone. They don't get along with anyone, they never make peace with the other tribes. The Gerudo would still be in the desert with all their hatred and everything. And in Twilight Princess, Aru, the old man, says, The Gerudo Desert once held a prison to hold the worst criminals this land has ever known. The criminals who were sentenced to death were sent directly to the underworld by a cursed mirror that was kept in the prison. Some believe that those criminals were the Gerudo. Yeah, and including me, I think that was the Gerudo. If they had been segregated in the desert for long enough without getting along with anyone, they would have had enough pent-up anger towards the rest of Hyrule to become ruthless criminals, meaning they would be sent to the Twilight Realm after being sentenced to death and never show up in Twilight Princess. That covers that game, but there's still Four Swords Adventures. There's not really much to say, though. I mean, they're pretty friendly in Four Swords Adventures, and that's why I think, again, it happened in Hyrule A, the future. The Gerudo would have made peace with everyone and remained friendly. And yeah, that's pretty much all I got. I'm sure the Gerudo will turn up again in future games, and I'm sure that there'll be more to think about if they are significant in those games. Until then, I want you guys to think about this. I want you to think of the things I've brought up and, you know, respond to me. Is there something that I missed? Is there something that I said that you think doesn't really make sense or doesn't work with my theory? Or is there something that completely contradicts my theory altogether? I want to know. So email me at colonelmajora@gmail.com. That's colonelmajora@gmail.com. It's all one word. But thanks so much for listening. I've been happy to make a submission for this awesome podcast. I've had some awesome submissions before me. I've had some favorites that have just inspired me to do this, like the submissions from Duck Noises and Random Person from podcast number 2, you know, Is Majora Evil and the Red Star Theory. And the Great Clock Town Architecture submission from podcast number 11. Remember that one well. But it's just been an honor to be on the same cast as these awesome theorists and all the other ones. But that's all I got, so thanks for hearing me ramble, and I'll return it to Din and Rish. Hope to talk to you guys again sooner or later, so I'll see you then!
Thank you so much, Colonel, for your theories and your insights. It was a wonderful segment, and we hope to hear from you again. And we will see you on the Keep Quiz at the end of this podcast.
We'll see if he can hold up his end of the bargain. What? Or if he's going to get taken down.
What bargain?
The bargain that if he stays on top, maybe I'll buy him some ice cream.
What was this? Shh, you can't tell the fans that.
Guys, so today on the mailbag we have quite a few voice questions, and we're going to delve back into our text questions as well.
Absolutely we are, so let's get started right on the first voice question right away here.
Our first one is from someone named Dark Master. Go ahead.
Hey Din, what made you want to start the podcast?
So Din, that one's for you.
Well, I think it's really directed at both of us, but specifically, what happened was, Rish and I were on a trip, and we started joking about making a newscast for Zelda Dungeon, and, like, it was really a joke to start out, and then it started to become more and more serious the more we talked about it, and so we got in touch with the powers that be and asked if they wanted a podcast.
And next thing you know, here we are. Alright, so let's go on to the next question.
It's from our current Keaton Quiz champ.
Hey, Din and Rish. It's Colonel Majora. I was wondering, you know, as really hard as it is to think about, was there anything in any Zelda games that truly disappointed you? You know, something that you wish could have been a lot better? For me, it's gotta be the fact that Zelda 2's overworld is so much more difficult than its dungeons.
I certainly do have something that bothered me and disappointed me, and it comes from Twilight Princess. Here's the thing, okay? We did more than three quarters of the game fighting back the Twilight and gaining light back into the light world, and then we go to the Twilight Realm where everything is in shadow and everything is opposite of the light world, and we don't meet Dark Link.
Dark Link?
Yeah, Dark Link. They even made a sprite for him for the stupid cutscene, but do we fight him? No.
Well, you can't have everything in life.
Well, hey, the question was, what disappointed me? That's what disappointed me. How about you?
Fair enough. For me, there's not a lot in the Zelda series. The only thing I wish is that they would have delved into the history of the Shiika a little bit more. At least in one of the games. Right now, there hasn't really been any, so...
Yeah. No, I totally agree with you on that one. Our next question comes from the same person.
Hello again, Din and Rish. This is Count Major again. I was just wondering, would either of you be in favor of Nintendo making another top-down style Zelda in the future? I think that this would be a great idea, since past games like A Link to the Past and Link's Awakening, and more recent ones like Minish Cap, have been really successful. What do you think?
I'm not sure that I really have an opinion. I think Rish is much more qualified to answer that question, so I'll pass that one off.
I would have to say, I think it could be a good idea, but it would have to be done by a game company outside of Nintendo itself. So, I mean, with Minish Cap, if I remember correctly, it was Capcom that did it, and they did an excellent job. So, we would have to find a game company that specifically did that kind of thing, and give them a little bit of free reign. Maybe give them the story and let them go to town on it.
Sounds like a good idea. Okay, and our last voice question for this time.
Hey, Din and Rish. Link here. There's a question that I had for you about which character in the Legend of Zelda series creeps you out the most, or is the creepiest looking person in the game? Just wanted to know what your thoughts were.
Well, my very first response to who do I think is the creepiest, my answer currently would be Ghirahim. Because he freaked me out. Legitly. And as for who I think looks the creepiest,
Ghirahim?
Yeah.
Yeah. He is kind of creepy with his long tongue and, like, appearing beside you and licking your face and
just
stuff. Like,
his whole mannerism. Yeah.
He's pretty creepy.
Alright, I guess that's our answer.
Alright, guys, we're going to start delving into some of the old text mailbag questions that we have. The first one comes from Jack, and he says, "Hey guys, how's it going? Do you think it would be cool if Zelda adopted some RPG concepts such as repairing equipment and leveling up?" Now, this question came from a little bit before Skyward Sword, so we've gotten repairing. And I think it's pretty cool that you actually have to perform properly in order to avoid the heavy repair costs.
Yeah, and I think that we have seen some forms of leveling up in Skyward Sword, the shield, for example, and upgrading weapons. Though Link doesn't really level up, but I think we're definitely headed in that direction. Or, I mean, we've already seen that. So, next question.
All right, the next question comes from Pink Link.
Oh,
and the question is, okay, I was playing Minish Cap recently, and I started to wonder, will we see Kinstones or the Minish in any other Zelda titles? You know what, I'm going to have to say no.
Yeah, I doubt it.
Because it seems very specific now.
Like,
it is. You look at the Kikuis in Skyward Sword.
Kikuis! Yes, I love them!
Kikuis, I know. Or the little leafy dudes in Wind Waker.
Yeah, the Koroks.
Yeah, you don't see them very often outside of their game.
I think Nintendo has made each game able to stand on its own, and so each game has something that's unique to it. So I don't think we'll see the Minish again.
Yeah, I'm next going question. To have to agree. The next question is from Hunter, and Hunter asks, what are your top five characters in the entire series? Now, that's a heavy question.
No, I can do this. Do I get to pick Link? There was no restrictions, right?
No, okay. No restrictions.
Link?
Go. Link?
Dark Link?
Hold on, starting from the bottom or
from the top? From the top.
Okay, Link is number one.
Link, Dark Link, Sheik or Sheik, however you guys want to pronounce it. Midna, and probably Beetle, because he's hilarious. Well, I might pick Groose now.
Oh, good. You didn't pick the one I thought you were going to pick.
Tingle!
No,
I forgot
no, too
about
late,
Tingle!
Too late.
No,
you
he
can't,
gets to
be... No, you can't pick him now. Tingle's not in the top five.
No,
you guys
he's
heard
at the
it
top.
Here first.
He's at the
no.
top of the list.
You guys heard it here first.
He's at
E-top
the top.
Says that Tingle is not part of this now.
Shush! He's at the top of the list, guys. Okay.
In your mind.
We don't have much time left.
Okay. Do we have time for one more?
Yes, we have time for probably two more if they're quick.
Okay. Our next one is from Pika Link. Wow, there's lots of links today.
Apparently.
And the question is, do you think we will see more games involving New Hyrule? Or was Spirit Tracks the only game that will take place in New Hyrule?
I would liken this question to the one we just had about the Minish, but, I don't know. Maybe.
That's really up to Nintendo,
yeah.
I think. They're going to hold their cards closer to their chest, hopefully.
I would be more inclined to say yes to that question than the yes to the Minish part one.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And the last question...
Yes.
...comes from Casato, and they say, what is the correct pronunciation of Girahim?
Well, the general...
There you go. Girahim.
The general consensus is Girahim.
Or Creeper. Whichever way you want to take it. I know...
Jeez.
You know what? Pronouncing it Creeper, you know, it's got that kind of Norwegian feel to
oh,
it.
Oh, jeez. You stop it.
What? He's creepy.
We established that on this mailbag already.
Yes, well, I'm just reaffirming. Anyways, guys, that's all the time we have time for today.
I just want to say one more thing to remind all of you guys. When you send in your mailbag questions, make sure you put your name. We've had a few where they don't come in with a name or there's no forum name attached. So just make sure you give us your forum name so that we're not revealing anything about your identity that you don't want revealed on a podcast to thousands of people. Okay?
Either that or I choose your first name and just run with it. So
make sure you give us your name is the point I was trying to make. So we'll see you next month for the next mailbag with more voice and text questions.
Thanks for listening to that.
We'll move on to our next section.
All right, so next up we have Link's Triforce. And he wants to talk to us about graphics. But before we get to that, didn't you have something to say about this submission?
Yeah, I just wanted to tell everybody that this was submitted before Skyward Sword was released. So the intro is in past tense, or future tense. So that's why. But everything that he talks about is still relevant. So we will pass it over to Link Triforce.
Hello, I'm Link Triforce, and today I'm going to be talking to you about the changes in graphics of the Zelda games, particularly Wind Waker, Twilight Princess, and Skyward Sword. With the release of Skyward Sword mere days away, it's the only thing that's been on my mind. One thing in particular are the gorgeous graphics, which are split between Wind Waker and Twilight Princess, in my opinion, and in most people's opinion. When Wind Waker was released, it really split the fanbase in half. Half the people were in favour of these new graphics and saying that they looked very interesting and colourful, whereas the other half were annoyed at it and wanted to see darker, more realistic graphics, like what they saw in Ocarina of Time beforehand. My personal opinions on this matter are that I really, really like the cel-shaded graphics of Wind Waker. I think they're really colourful and can get everything across really well and with lots of humour too. I mean, we all know that Toon Link is very funny. I did like the graphics in Twilight Princess, however, though. I just don't think they could have portrayed the same emotion and story if they'd have chosen to go with a cartoony cel-shaded style like Wind Waker. The darkness and the grittiness were just perfect for almost everything I saw. Except for maybe that weird cannon guy on Lake Hylia. That guy worries me. Yeah. Anyway, that's beside the point. Back to talk about graphics. I think that what Nintendo went with for Skyward Sword was an absolutely fantastic idea. They put together what the fans liked about Wind Waker and what they liked about Twilight Princess and made one big mutated mess of awesome. I've been trying to hold off from a lot of spoilers about Skyward Sword, but I have watched a couple of videos and such on the Wii's Nintendo channel, and I have to say, they are my favourite graphics used so far. They're just so vibrant, they can get across anything. Sorry, I'm really excited for this, but who isn't? I seriously need to stop getting off the subject. What was I saying? Oh, yes, Skyward Sword. One particular place I've seen and really liked the look of was Lake Floria. The water effects and the look of the Pirella tribe were just perfect. I had a huge grin on my face the first time I saw it. When I saw Link swimming through the water, it looked so nice. Then when he suddenly jumped out over a fence or something, and the water was flying off him as his fan. It just shows the amount of care that's been put into every last detail of this game. This might sound like a stupid thing to say, but even the text boxes look lovely. A while back, I was talking to Din about the different graphics between the games, and her opinion might have changed since then, but I'll just read it anyway. My opinion is a very strong one. I've never liked cel shading and overly adored Twilight Princess's dark, gritty graphics. I prefer things that feel more real, and I love dark-themed games. This goes way beyond just the Zelda series. Assassin's Creed's, the first one, graphics, are another example of graphics I really like. To me, the happy-go-lucky graphics of Wind Waker are too far set away from what the story is expressing with its concepts to fit. I personally don't like that. And it's back to me. Now, that's pretty different from some of the things that I think, but that's what the best part is. Everybody has different opinions on this subject, and it is, or was, quite heavily debated. I'd really like to hear some of your opinions on this subject. Next time, I'll be talking about motion control in Skyward Sword and the overall control, really. Because that'll be after I've played it. Because I've pre-ordered it to get the special Wii Remote. Sorry, yeah, I'll be off. Bye.
Thanks so much for your submission, Link Triforce, and we hope to hear from you again. We'd love to hear your segment on motion control. Thank you for your opinions on graphics. Welcome to the second staff spotlight. So today I want to talk about two more staff members that are involved with ZTalk. And these are people you might not know that are involved with ZTalk heavily. So the first one is Zelda Music Lover. He's been on our podcast a number of times. He is actually on the Keaton quiz at the end of this podcast today as well. But to tell you a little bit about ZML, he is 19 and he is a college music education major. He's in college, he's a music education major, and he does a ton of things for the podcast behind the scenes. So, you have all heard his voice on nearly every single podcast for the past few months. He makes all the intro music for the recurring segments, like the Keaton quiz and the mailbag. He also makes some background music. The song we use for the Keaton quiz introduction is a Zelda Music Lover original. He also spends many hours with me identifying and confirming all the music that's used for ZTunes questions. He is starting to help us out so we don't have so many overlapping and ones that are used for two or more locations or in more than one game. He also has done some roundtable hosting in the past, and I have heard that he is hoping to start that up again. Of course, school is important and can get in the way of the stuff we do here for the podcast. He also helps us with getting music that we need, so with obtaining music that we don't have that we're wanting to use for background music or for ZTunes questions. But really, in general, ZML helps out with whatever we ask him to do. He's one of those guys who will volunteer to help with anything that needs doing. So he's a great asset to us, and deserves more recognition than he gets. So I want to personally thank Zelda Music Lover for all the work that he does for Z-Talk. Alright, the second staff member that I want to recognize today is Axel the Beast. I'm sure you guys know him well from the mailbags and the Curiosity Shop and his various theories on Zelda. So, Axel is 20, and what does he do? Well, other than playing Zelda and making mailbags, Axel rolls into trees and raids bushes for cash while he tries to... Oh, wait. No, I'm being told I'm not allowed to say that. He kills demons and hopes for good drops. But, you know, I'm sure all of you know enough about Axel, so we don't need to get into his life too much. So what does he do for the podcast? Well, he is heavily involved with publication of the podcast, specifically for YouTube. He helps us out with getting all of our segments up on YouTube and dealing with the fan base over there. He was the main contributor for Roundtables for quite a while, though we have slowed down on that, but are hoping to pick it back up again. He's been passing the torch off to Zelda Music Lover, as said earlier. He also helps with ZTunes questions once in a while when we're stumped or having some trouble. But most of all, he helps me out with Keaton quiz questions that I'm unsure about. When I have a question that I'm not sure is worded right or could be slightly incorrect, I go ask him, and since he has so much knowledge on the subject, he's able to help me out in that regard. He also helps out with some of the administrative stuff in posting the podcast up on the website and dealing with the other staff members. So I'd like to thank him as well for all the work he does for the podcast. And I will tell you guys about two more people that help out with the podcast next time. All right, our next section comes from Link. And Link has a probing question.
Probably something he came across in his adventures.
Yeah, probably. He's thinking about it after the fact. Let's, hear the question.
Hello, Zelda Dungeon. I wanted to try out my new section here. It's called What Happened. It's where I talk about what happened, what I wanted to think happened to all the other races in Zelda Dungeon that have disappeared, or people that we haven't seen in Zelda games after a while. Okay, first topic is the Hyrule King in Wind Waker. I wonder what happened to that guy. I mean, last time you saw him, he was sunk at the bottom of the ocean. So, and he's basically a spirit. So I was wondering if he died or still alive, but can, I don't know, if he's like a protector of the land of Hyrule that it's sunk now, but there's really no reason to protect it now, is there? I mean, Ganondorf's a stone statue, and, well, can't really get out of stone, plus with a sword stuck in his head. It's kind of sick to be him. Well, anyways, I want to hear about what you think happened. Send me a response to this video on my page on Zelda Dungeon. Just check for Link. Yep, that's my name. Just Link.
You know what? If I want to be pessimistic, what happened is nothing. He stayed there forevermore. If I want to be optimistic, he is truly the protector of what is left of the land of Hyrule, and he always will be.
And I would like to say that I think Ganon will get out of that stone. But
even with the sword stuffed in his head?
Yeah, he always comes back. And now we know from Skyward Sword, spoiler alert if you haven't finished, that Demise cursed Link and Zelda to always have to deal with it.
Because he's a jerk face.
Yeah. Anyway, thank you so much, Link, for your section, and we hope to hear from you again.
Alright guys, so first up we have a submission from someone named Princess.
Who wants to talk about Twilight Princess, her favorite characters, and what she thinks they contributed to the game.
Alright, take it away, Princess.
Hey everybody, it's Princess, and this is my first ever Z-Talk recording. So what I'm going to be talking about today is Twilight Princess, and namely my five favorite characters and what I think they contributed to the game. Okay. So starting with my fifth favorite, which would be Mallow. He, even though he's a baby, he is really helpful in this game, like owning the shop where you buy all your things in the first part of the game, and also renovating the Castletown shop to make the magic armor affordable. Also, he does teach you how to use your sword and holds a mini game for a heart piece, I think, where you shoot Talos pull next to him on the platform that he's standing on. And that is pretty much all, but I just think he's a great character and he added some humor and he was pretty helpful. Alright. So, now my fourth favorite, which would be Yeddo and Yetta. So, Yeddo is really helpful in the Snowpeak Ruins because he makes you some soup, which pretty much just acts as a really effective potion for at least the last half of the dungeon, and a pretty effective potion for the first half. And Yetta, I dislike her. I like her a little bit less than Yeddo because of her turning into Blizzetta, which was kind of creepy, and her not take mirror thing where her head did like a 180 turn. Yeah. But they're both fun to race down the mountain, so I'd say I like both of them. Alright, so my third favorite character would have to be Zelda, because in this game, unlike some of the other games, she actually helps you. If you don't remember, she heals Midna when she's really sick and sacrifices herself for her, even though later you find she's not really dead, but she sacrifices a lot of her health for her, and she also actually joins you in battles, which I thought was pretty cool because I have never played a game where she helps you in battle, and she is firing light arrows at Ganon, which you could not have passed that battle without her. And so on to my second favorite character, which is Ukku and Ukku Jr. Besides just being cute, they're really helpful, and if you don't remember, they can warp you back to the very beginning of the dungeon so you can go get supplies if you run out, or in the case of the fire temple, if something burns your shield, which has happened to me almost every time I've played the game. Or she can warp you back to the room that you warped out of, so you don't have to work your way all the way back to that room, which was really helpful. And kind of reminded me of Feroar's Wind. So, anyway, now moving on to my first favorite character, which was Midna. Of course, just like everybody else who plays the game, I thought she was an annoying little imp at first, too. But, I mean, you know, with all that taunting and discouraging, but after a while, I found that she actually was pretty nice, and then when she got to be so sick, I, like probably everybody else who plays the game, was really worried. And then of course Zelda gives her health to her, and then later when she turns into her true form and the curse is lifted, I was relieved, and I was like, yay, and I thought that she was gonna stay, and there was gonna be an after game, But when she broke the mirror, I was actually pretty surprised, and I was actually pretty disappointed, because then there wasn't an after game. So, and if you try to play the game, it just has her on your back as an imp still, saying that you need to go save Princess Zelda, which that kind of was disappointing, but, you know, she's still a good character and contributes to the story, and that's why she's my favorite character. And now for one final thing. My absolute least favorite character in any video game ever. Zan's Hand. Or at least that's what I think it's called. You know what I'm talking about. That big, black, scary hand at the Shadow Temple that chases you with the soul and tries to take it from you. And it just is a nerve-wracking experience. And guess what? After I finished the first one, like the first soul thing, I went to the second, and I was like, phew, that soul stuff is over. Okay, that's good. And then I had to do it all over again, and I was pretty mad because it took me like a billion tries to finish that. But I think I am done with talking about my favorites and least favorite character. And so I hope you enjoyed this segment. So bye.
All right, well, thank you for your submission, Princess. I do have to say one thing about Mallow, though.
Uh-oh.
Mallow Mart is essentially Walmart. They just open branches wherever they can.
They're American. They don't have Walmart. They have Target, don't they?
They have Walmart, too.
Oh, sorry, that's my bad.
But, Mallow Marts spread like Walmarts do. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba-da.
And now the Keaton Quiz.
Hello everyone, and welcome to the Keaton Quiz. This is ZTalk's game show, where two contestants are asked 10 questions from three different categories: The Legend of Zelda, where they must show their knowledge of the games in the series; ZTunes, where they must name the title of a song and what game the song is from; and Zelda Dungeon, where they show their knowledge of our website. Legend of Zelda and Zelda Dungeon questions are worth 1 point each. ZTunes questions are worth 2 points, one for the correct title and one for the correct game. Contestants have 15 seconds to buzz in and 15 seconds after buzzing to answer a question correctly. If a contestant buzzes before the question has been read in its entirety, the remainder of the question will not be read. If a contestant buzzes in and hesitates for more than the 15 seconds or gives a wrong answer, his or her opponent may steal a chance at the question. At this time, the question may be reread. All questions and answers are created from Zelda Dungeon's web pages. The winner of the game becomes the champion and moves on to the next round to challenge a new opponent. Anyone can be a contestant on the Keaton Quiz, but all applicants should note that cheating of any kind is grounds for disqualification. Good luck to all of our contestants. Warning, the following segment has been modified from its original version. It has been modified so that each ZTunes question is only worth 1 point, as these two contestants are way too good at ZTunes questions. Thank you. Please enjoy the segment.
Alright, so we are back, and let's go with our champion.
What?
Colonel Majora. Go ahead, and can I hear your buzzer, please?
Sure.
Oh, very nice.
Good one.
Good Mario bounce. And our challenger for this time is Zelda Music Lover, and can we hear your buzzer, please?
Oh, my.
That is very strange, and somewhat frightening. Well, at least we won't mistake them, though, right, Din?
That's true. I had trouble with that on the last one. And, are you both ready?
Absolutely. Cinnamon beat you, Majora Man beat Cinnamon, and I beat Majora Man. I'm higher on the food chain than you, music.
Oh.
Any rebuttal music?
Not that I can say.
Oh.
Ooh. All right.
I'm really excited for this quiz, you guys. I just want to give a little preempt to our audience here. These two fine gentlemen both are extremely knowledgeable, and especially with the Z-Tunes questions. So this will be quite exciting. Are you both ready?
Yes.
Yep.
All right. Then we are going to start. Question number one. Category, The Legend of Zelda. What item is required to enter the Shadow Temple in Ocarina of Time? Colonel.
The... Jin's Fire.
That is correct.
That's good for 1 point.
First point goes to our champion. Okay. Question number two. Category, Z-Tunes. Name the title of this song. Colonel.
Oh man.
Five seconds.
Out of time. Zelda Music Lover, can you name the title of the song?
Yes, it's Clock Town from Majora's Mask.
Can you tell me specifically?
I believe it is day one.
It's day two. However, I am going to give it to you because it was only like 10 seconds in. So we are tied up 1-1 on our scoreboard. Question number three. Category, Zelda Dungeon. What website hosts the playlists for Zelda Dungeons forum members? Colonel.
Zelda Universe?
No, that is incorrect. Zelda Music Lover, you have a chance to steal. What website hosts the playlists for Zelda Dungeons forum members' profile pages?
I actually do not know, so I'm going to just throw out the answer of that one website that plays those songs.
No, I can't.
The correct answer is actually mixpod.com.
They host our playlist, so we can have them on our profile pages. Alright, so no point for that one. Question number four. Category, Z-Tunes. Name the title of this song.
Whoa.
Colonel.
It's the falling of Ganon's castle from Ocarina of Time.
Holy cow. You're correct.
I'll take that. It is the escape from Ganon's
castle.
But right. It is falling when you're doing that, yep. So we can take that.
Holy cow, I was trying to pick one that I thought you guys wouldn't get. Apparently not. Okay.
Good job. So,
it's going quite quickly.
Colonel's up 2-1.
Are you still there, Music?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, that sounds sad.
Okay, question number five. Category, The Legend of Zelda. From The Wind Waker, who brings the Deku Tree word of Mal... Colonel?
Oh, man, I know. Wait, is his name... Hollow?
No, that is incorrect. Zelda Music Lover, from The Wind Waker, who brings the Deku Tree word of Makar falling into the Forbidden Woods?
Five seconds. Give it a try.
Jojo, whatever.
No.
The correct answer is Linder.
Oh, yeah.
Linder brings word.
Okay. Question number six. Category, The Legend of Zelda. What is the title of the boss in the Cave of Flames in the Minish Cap? Colonel. Yes, it is.
Correct.
Colonel's up to 3. Music's at 1.
We have 4 questions remaining, so it's
still close. Still can catch up.
Come on, music.
I like to hear the question first before I...
Okay, question number 7. Category, Zelda Dungeon. What is the name of Zelda Dungeon's new sister site? Colonel.
Pokemon Dungeon?
No!
That is correct! Colonel's up to 4! Come on, Music! I thought you were gonna give him a run for his money!
I'm trying to, but I have a buzzer that involves me using my air, not a button.
I'm not letting him inhale first.
Good to know for any future competitors. Air is not the most...
Not the fastest. Thing. Okay, question number 8. Category, Z-Tunes. Name the title of this song. Colonel.
Sheik's theme, Book of Time.
That is correct.
That's correct. Okay. Colonel Majora is at 6. Zelda Music Lover, 1. Okay. Question number 9. Category, The Legend of Zelda. Who says this line? Now, here's a secret. If you bring me gold dust before this sword loses its edge... Colonel?
Oh, I know who it is. What is his name?
5 seconds. Give it a shot.
I don't know.
Okay, Zelda Music Lover. Who says this line? Sorry?
Deborah? Or Gabora?
No. You're very close, though.
Majora's Mask.
It's Zubora.
It's Zubora.
The sword maker in Majora's Mask.
Yeah.
I was thinking of his little packy.
Yeah, you're thinking of his buddy.
What, the guy who, like, yells?
Yes. Okay. Last question. Question number 10. Category, The Legend of Zelda. In Twilight Princess, what is the correct title for the side dungeon known casually as the 50 Floors of Enemies? Colonel.
Cave of Ordeals?
Yes, it is!
Best dungeon in the series.
For the end.
Alright!
Colonel Majora 7, Zelda Music Lover 1.
What was that?
Remind me to change my buzzer.
Yes, I'm thinking that that's not going to work as well as we hoped.
Oh, yeah. Blame the buzzer.
Well, you know, sometimes.
I knew a good chunk of them. It's just... my buzzer.
Getting in before. Colonel's pretty good at buzzing in pretty quick, so...
It was a tough one for you. Tough break there, Zelda Music Lover.
What? Hey! Did you have fun?
Yeah.
Good! Did you have fun, Colonel?
Oh, yeah.
Good stuff.
He knows his stuff.
Well, you know what? You're always able to come back and try again, right? So...
yeah.
For sure. Alright, well, thank you so much both for participating, and Colonel has certainly made himself comfy on his little throne there. Hopefully someone can dethrone him.
Hopefully.
Well, you know what I mean.
Hopefully we find someone that has a chance of doing it.
We'll give you a good challenge. Does that make you feel better if I say it that way?
Yeah, he gave me a good challenge.
Good stuff. All right. We will see you guys next time then, and we'll see Colonel again.
Thanks again, guys.
Thanks a lot.
Bye.
Bye.
See you too.
Alright guys, that's all we have time for today here on Z-Talk. First off, Din, you wanted to ask Jonathan something.
Yes, Jonathan gave me some feedback last time on the podcast comments that it was not loud enough. So Jonathan, is it loud enough?
Well, we're hoping so. We know we had a couple submissions that were a little quieter, but we're hoping that with our new sound setup, that it'll be a little louder now.
And we're hoping to get some better sound equipment shortly here.
We're trying.
So we want to thank everybody who submitted a segment for this time, and everybody who has submitted segments that have not yet been aired. They will be aired next time or the time after that. We are starting to get to the bottom of the pile, though. I'm so excited.
My mailbag's still pretty full.
Yeah, well...
I'm trying.
We're trying.
Din won't let me do a whole mailbag session for some reason.
Oh, well... That will be a long podcast.
Hey!
Anyway, that's it for this time, so we'll say goodbye. This is Din.
And this is Rish.
And this was Z-Talk, the Zelda Dungeon Podcast.
Thanks for listening.
Wait. We can't totally be done yet.
What do you mean?
Well,
why?
Because now... Okay, guys, so...
What? No.
I want to do bloopers.
No.
Yes, shush.
Why?
You don't get a say.
What?
I want to do bloopers at the end of the podcast, and so I thought I better tell you that I was going to do this, and wanting to do this, so you're not just like, what is this at the end of the podcast? So, there's going to be bloopers and or funny moments caught on tape.
So, I get no say.
No, you get no say.
You guys hear what's going on here?
Yeah, too bad. Suck it up.
Oh, jeez. All right.
So, we'll go to our first...
We'll talk.
We'll go to our first bloopers section, and we'll see you guys next month.
And we'll be talking about this, Din.
Too bad. What? My God, I can't talk today.
Do you want me to say it?
No. Colonel!
Din's speech impediment.
Are you sure you don't want me to say it?
No, I can do it.